Now, you would think, Roger, you would think if you knew the Guadalupe River was flood prone, you maybe wouldn't build a summer camp there.
It's notorious. Has been for decades, centuries, and probably millennia.
Yeah. A lot of conspiracy theories. Maybe it's geoengineering. Maybe it's cloud seeding. Why is this happening? And the answer is because it happens.
Yeah.
There's a history of it. And yet, for some crazy reason, they keep building summer camps along the banks of the Guadalupe. 1987.
Well, they keep building New Orleans on the...
well, there is that.
It's the Barrier Islands.
1987, Comfort, Texas, which is in the county right next to Kerr.
Yeah.
It's not too many miles away. Christian Camp is completely destroyed in the flood. This is literally eerily the same story.
Yep.
Take a listen. This is, again, 1987. This is the coverage of it.
87.
On Friday morning, July 17th, 1987, the small town of Comfort, Texas, became the scene of a heroic rescue and tragic loss. Much of the footage you will see was taped on that day by the banks of the Guadalupe River.
It was the day they were supposed to go home. The more than 300 children at the church camp were awakened early. The river was flooding. If they didn't leave soon, their buses might not be able to leave at all.
And they come in there rushing us up and everything. Tell us, get up, get packed and all this stuff. And everybody was asking why. They said we got to get out of here because the river was flowing over.
I mean, we started going around the corner. We would go down the hill, then water started coming in the bus and stuff. We tried to back up, but then the bus got stuck, so they made all of us get out of the bus.
And that's whenever the first wave hit us and started scattering people to different trees.
Kids clinging onto the, you know, the trees like ants, surrounded by rushing water. Chris Ray was the first to be rescued.
You should see this.
How many are there of you?
They actually show footage, Roger.
Wow, you can just, yeah, you can just about you can about see it in your mind.
Yeah, they're clinging to the trees. The images are exactly the same. They get hit with a sudden wall of water. The flooding starts. They can see that. They're trying to get in the bus. And then just like this time, same thing. 26-foot wall of water. Same thing happened back then, too. Here's from that time, Guadalupe River, Comfort, Texas this time. Very close by.
Yeah.
July 17th, 1987. Rescuers worked to airlift teenagers trapped in trees after a wall of water washed them away. It happened when a caravan of buses attempted to escape from a church camp through a low water crossing after a overnight storm.
Good night.
When the bus stalled, they formed a human chain to try to walk out, only to have a wall of water scatter them into the raging river. You should see the video there. They wouldn't today show this kind of thing on TV, I don't think, but there's a 14-year-old girl. They try repeatedly to rescue her. She's in the water. She grabs the rope, but she can't hold on. She's too tired, and you see her swept away.
Yeah, they'll blur that.
She died.
Yeah, they'll blur that. Yep.
And it was heroic because they told the rescuers, listen, we're going to drop you from these helicopters. They're hanging on to these ropes, and they say, if you become tangled in the trees, you're on your own. We're going to have to cut you loose. And they went down for them anyway.
Yeah.
Wow. 300 children were wiped away, washed away. Incredibly, they saved them all but 10.
And
so,
of course, there were stories of heroism in this latest disaster as well. Yeah.
So, you know, the idea of, hey, maybe we should have camps on the banks of the Guadalupe where we are practically feeding children to the river. If we do, maybe some sort of, you know, air horn warning system since these floods seem to come in the middle of the night. It's just incredible that this has happened before and we did not have that.
And they don't call them flash floods for nothing, you know.
No, they don't. And so, you know, the idea that Donald Trump is somehow responsible for this is just bizarre. And Caroline Leavitt went scorched earth, his spokesperson yesterday, and she should have. I mean, this is disgusting to tell the lies that the media is telling. And look, they should know better. I mean, here's George Stephanopoulos, right? Fresh from the $16 million libel payout judgment.
All right, here we go.
To Donald Trump for lying and libeling him.
Yep.
And he does it again.
Maria, we're also learning that there were significant staffing shortfalls at the National Weather Service's offices in the region.
Shortfalls. Whatever does that supposed to mean, anyway?
Okay, most of those cuts won't even take place till October. George doesn't mention that.
Right, yeah.
And that office, according to the Associated Press, they released a statement, no, we were overstaffed. We're always overstaffed for emergency events. Mm-hmm. They were overstaffed that day. They added four extra staff members. They had way more than they normally did. Cuts didn't affect them at all.
Yeah, and the twisted irony is how the administration is actually working feverishly to upgrade, literally antiquated, technology in the National Weather Service.
It's very frustrating, but it's going to happen again. I mean, so, you know, I mean, there's nothing, whoever's president doesn't have an effect on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Roger, the Epstein weirdness,
it's
really weird. Did you see what a member of the Trump administration told the Rolling Stone?
Yes.
Quote, yeah. They're going to be so mad. This is the headline. Trump administration braces for MAGA revolt over Epstein memo. They're going to be so mad.
So mad, yeah.
But, hey, no, what Johns? Johns, no, there were no Johns. You did not see all the most famous people in the world on the Epstein plane. You thought you did, but you did not. They were not there, and they didn't fly to Little St. John Island. They didn't at all, even though you saw them on that plane there flying to Little St. John Island like Bill Clinton over and over and over and over again. But it didn't happen. So anyway, okay, here's the problem. When you tell a lie this big, Roger, and that's what they're doing, Pam Bondi, for whatever reason, Dan Bongino, Cash Patel, when you tell a lie this big, you can't cover all the threads of it. Let me give you an example, okay? Jim Hoft, the Gateway pundit, sued. This was after the Ghislaine Maxwell case, sued to open the files to find out who the Johns were, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been going on since 2022.
Yeah, 22.
Okay. Now, here's where it gets weird. They wanted the men and the women's names with whom Epstein traded sex with minors for favors or money or both.
Mm-hmm.
At the time in 2022, no other media outlet in the country had petitioned the court to unseal the identities of Epstein's clients. It was almost like the corporate media was protecting the disgusting sexual predators, Jim Hoff writes yesterday. But listen to this. Back in July 2022, the Gateway pundit lawyers Mark Randazza and Jay Woolman of the Randazza Legal Group, along with GP General Counsel John Burns, filed a motion to intervene in Guffrey versus Maxwell case, United States District Court of New York. But they were blocked from getting the records, from unsealing the records. And why was that? An anonymous John Doe, literally styled by his lawyer as John Doe, filed an objection to the Gateway pundit unsealing the sex client list.
Okay. John Doe, of course.
John Doe?
Yeah.
Was on it.
Of course.
He was on it. And he was not Jeffrey Epstein because Jeffrey's dead.
Yeah.
He either did or did not kill himself. So regardless, we all agree he's dead, right?
Yeah.
So if we are told that the only John, all of these thousands of girls, they were sex trafficked only to Jeffrey Epstein, who's this guy?
Yep.
And if an anonymous John Doe filed something in court.
Yeah, there should be a record somewhere.
To keep his own name hidden. And the court sided with the John Doe, who literally was a pedophile John, over the interests of the press and the public. Where is he?
Yeah.
I thought he wasn't there. What possible reason could John Doe have for not wanting the Epstein sex client list exposed? By the way, Roger.
Hello.
I miss Lee. I wasn't right yesterday going home. I was like,
So do I. Every time the alarm goes off at 3:30 a.m.
Yeah, I know, really. He'll be back, though. He'll be back next week. Every once in a while, I call my husband Lee, and I call Lee by my husband's name. It's weird. He's my work husband. So here's the really weird thing, okay? He's like my dad, really, more, but don't tell him that. It'll make him feel old. We'll just call him my work husband.
Ouch.
Oh, he's not here. It doesn't matter. Okay, no one will tell him. So anyway, this is just me and you talking. So anyway, so the court sided with the John Doe, right? Yeah. Over the interest of the public in keeping the Epstein sex client list sealed. In other words, the court admitted it existed. And so this morning, everybody should read this article. So it's Jim Hoft over at the Gateway Pundit. It's a great investigative operation. Here's the headline. Wait, what? If there was no Epstein client list, then why did New York courts refuse the Gateway Pundit's legal request for the list based on anonymous John Doe, who was on the list? Wow. He filed a motion.
Well, here's another possibility. You know, a lot of people are put in the ground all the time under the name John Doe.
Yeah. So these are the threads that when you tell a lie, the size of the lie, the Bongino and Bondi and Cash Patel
are covered it up.
Yeah, they can't cover it up. There's too many pieces of it. Yeah. It's too big. It's too wide.
Somebody's going to cave. Yeah.
I don't know. The JFK stuff hasn't leaked. Not all of it anyway. Well. If you just wait 62 years, we'll know. You got plans to live that long?
I'm working on it.
Yeah, me too. Please, please do two things for me. Think before you drink. And if you see somebody you know not doing that, acting like an idiot, step up. Step in. Speak up. Absolutely heartbreaking what happened on Lake Greenwood over the weekend, and so unnecessary.
Lawrence County Coroner Patty Knopf says a group of five young adults were boating around, taking turns driving and making safe decisions. Around 1:42 Sunday morning on Lake Greenwood, another boat with two aboard crashed into their boat with such force that it ran it over. The coroner says 23-year-olds Abby Davis and Chandler Davis, two college sweethearts and recent graduates of Clemson University, were killed due to blunt force trauma.
Alcohol makes bad decisions, yeah. and this decision affected a lot of lives this weekend. Those two children had a lot going for them.
Yeah. Alan Sidney Benware Jr. III was arrested and charged with two counts of BUI, boating under the influence.
Absolute lunatic. No lights. Speeding in a boat, going so fast, it literally landed on top of the other boat. In fact, basically lake cops were pursuing it when it hit the other boat. The boat with the young people on it, who had some sense, properly lit, proper speed, they were exercising caution. 2 a.m., middle of the night. Maybe that part wasn't the best. But look, you're driving, you're going out like a bat out of hell, drunk in the middle of the night on a boat. It's so selfish. These two were beautiful, too. I was wondering if they were married. It's one of those things you get obsessed with. You're like, why did they just get married? They're only 23. They have the same last name. But the Post and Courier reported, no, they just happen to have the same last name, but they were dating. Young couple's gone. So don't be selfish when you drink, but most especially find the courage to speak up if somebody you're with is acting like an idiot. Okay. Enough about that. Just very heartbreaking. It was so unnecessary over the weekend. So unnecessary. Meanwhile, Trump's saying we've got to send Ukraine more weapons. Uh-oh. Yeah, he's had it with Putin. He has had it with Putin. And Putin is messing around. He is. He's not entirely at fault. NATO continues to slaughter civilians deep inside of Russia. That never gets reported except in places like India, which is why they have so much sympathy for Russia. But here's the problem with this. I get what Trump's doing. You know what Trump? You know what else Trump is responding to? Do you know what is going on or was going on right when he said that? BRICS. So you've got India. I don't know who the hell they think they are. Excuse my language, but I don't know who the hell they think they are. We just transferred Apple manufacturing facilities to India. We take all their people so they can send money back home. All those, the only people making money anymore, those Indian firms that export people on HB1 visas. And they had the unmitigated gall to attend the BRICS meeting with China and Russia? Screw them. Excuse me, I'm getting exercised here. And I think that's why Trump finally threw his hands in the air and went, fine, send them the weapons, I don't care. I mean, because Putin's literally on the phone on one hand going, hey, no, we want to have peace in Ukraine. On the other hand, he's at BRICS going, how can we demolish the dollar and collapse the U.S. economy? But here's where Trump's wrong. You don't send weapons. It's too risky. Let me tell you why. The people leading NATO are fighting a war out of Badenburg, Germany. They've got a war room. You send those weapons, you're going to kill more Russian civilians. You kill more Russian civilians, you're going to hit they're going to hit Ukraine harder and harder and harder. And eventually, we're going to be in World War II with these people. We cannot continue sending missiles into Russia. It is madness. Once you turn over those weapons, I don't care if you're Donald Trump, you lose control over them. And NATO has been hitting deep inside Russia again and again and again and slaughtering civilians, and it has not stopped. And when they tell you in the media, wow, Putin's hitting Ukraine harder than ever, why is he doing that? It's in retaliation. He's not going to let us slaughter him. He's going to let us slaughter them on their own soil. Can you imagine if a country was raining down missiles on our country? Eventually, you'd end up in a nuclear war. They were nuclear armed. Trump's making a mistake here. We don't send Ukraine more weapons. What we do is we crush Russia economically. I don't know why we won't do it. Lindsey Graham even said, hey, let's put a 500% tariff on China for buying the Russian oil. Good. The only thing keeping their economy afloat, slap China with the tariff. They're all trying to kill us anyway. When they set a bioweapon every week, China does slap them with a 500% tariff. Shut them down. Make a decision once and for all. You take out China and Russia. Economically, kaboom. At a minimum, hit Russia with a 500% tariff. Slap China and Russia with it both. Weapons? What, to get into World War III? But you're still going to let China buy their oil? You're still going to let Russia sell stuff? Yeah, we won't take the economic route out. Stupid. I hope Trump's just talking and he doesn't mean he's sending weapons again. We will lose control of them. And Trump is not going to be able to control what happens if one of these weapons goes astray. He's not going to be able to control what happens if they hit the wrong thing and Russia retaliates. And Russia will be fully within their rights to retaliate. It is their nuclear doctrine. We have been warned. This is stupid. Hit them with everything that we have economically and crush their economy. We haven't even done that yet. Why are we shooting at people while we still let them sell stuff? I don't get it. But every moment they have our weapons, and folks, you gotta understand something, okay? They're not just walking around like fireworks, like handing them a package of fireworks and it goes boom, boom, boom. They can't deliver these weapons without our targeting, without at least CIA help, if not our Pentagon's help. Our defense intelligence agency's in there targeting these weapons. They kill civilians with them. Eventually, we're going to be in nuclear war with these people. Over what? I don't even know. We just got to stop this. If you want to fight them, you fight them with dollars. Okay, let me attempt to comprehend this. Do I have this correct? Between May and June, I've been meaning to get this spent in my stack, I'm going to tie it all together. Microsoft laid off 2,300 employees in Washington alone, including 817 software engineers. Yet during the same period, Microsoft submitted 6,327 H-1B visa requests for software engineer roles, matching the same job titles and locations affected by the layoffs. What do they need H-1B visas for? Oh, the Indian replacements, who they'll pay about two-thirds of what they were paying Americans. By the way, below prevailing wages here. State Department going to step in here? This is like, for reals, not happening, right? Because see, there's this thing about the job report that just came out. Top line number was good. 147,000 jobs created. Problem is 80% of them were either in government, state and local, not federal. Trump's done a really good job firing federal employees. They're shedding jobs. But these state and local jobs, or they're government adjacent jobs, most in healthcare, but funded, you know, with government spending. Folks, we can't pay a record deficit, which is what this big, beautiful bill is going to cause, with government money. I mean, that's like having a electrical, you know, power strip and then plugging the plug in and think it's going to run itself. Like, you don't plug it into the wall. I mean, like, you can't pay bigger deficits with government printing money that pays for people to work for government. It doesn't work. So, well, our jobs are going to India. This was buried in the jobs report.
And in large part because of what's going on with AI. Microsoft, of course, announced 9,000 job cuts. Now, those are family-sustaining, high-paying jobs. And there has really been wreckage, particularly in big tech, but not only big tech, already because of what AI is doing. AI.
So let me get it straight. 9,000 white collar jobs gone in that job report. While Microsoft submits 6,327 HB1 visa requests. Same time period? Yeah, no, these don't need to be approved. I'm going to be outraged if these are approved. This is absolutely outrageous. All of them from India. Anybody know why that is? I mean, there's software engineers all over the world, including in poor former Soviet republics. I mean, if we just want to get somebody to bust the wages down who'll work for nothing, we can hire them. Why don't we only hire Indians? Deal with the devil between Democrats and Republicans. Indians vote Democrat. You bring somebody here from a former Soviet republic, they might vote Republican. Probably will. Can't have that. So that's why we only bring Indians in so they can, you know, vote Democrats into power, crush the economy, and make everyone poor. By the way, loss of 7,000 manufacturing jobs in that last jobs bill, that last jobs report. So yes, the top line number was good. And yes, our side made much of it, but the underpinnings, not good. So I just thought I'd point that out on account of guess what India was doing this week. I mean, while they were preparing to send 6,300 workers over here to steal our jobs, and while Apple, I should say, is moving to India to do all of their manufacturing there from China with Trump's support, you think they'd be grateful, the son of a guns? But no, they're at the BRICS conference with Russia and China, who last I looked were our worst enemies on earth, you know, with the exception of maybe Iran, and they were plotting the overthrow of the dollar? Wasn't that what they were doing? Sure seems wrong to me. I mean, surely there's a nice PhD level wannabe engineer who could, you know, move here from Slovakia. Do you think? Maybe Croatia? Poland? I don't know. Does it have to be India? Because they sort of seem to hate us. Are we stupid? Look, I get why Trump is sending the weapons to Ukraine, because BRICS just pissed him off. I mean, it was that and Putin messing around. Yeah, Zelensky and NATO are still firing into Ukraine and they're killing into Russia and they're killing civilians right and left. The worst bombings of the war. And because they want to keep it going. They know Russia will respond. Putin will respond. Trump wants Putin to stop. And Putin's like, why should I stop? They just bombed me. I got to defend myself, which he does. But I think Trump finally lost it and said, you know what, forget it. I'm just keep arming Ukraine because of the BRICS thing. I mean, that was an attack on our currency. Can't stand. What a mess, right? We got so much to sort out. But at least it's not Joe Biden. He'd just roll over and go back to sleep. Meanwhile, folks, I want you to hear this. This Epstein thing is not flying. You know what was trending yesterday about Trump? I've never seen this before. On X, our side is pissed about this Epstein thing. We know, rightly, wrongly, whatever. I don't know, but we are. Uniparty was trending, as in Trump and his administration are part of the Uniparty. That was coming from MAGA. It was one of the top trenders yesterday on X. Shows you how badly this hit. This whole Epstein, no, he totally didn't kill himself and also totally didn't have any customers and totally didn't blackmail anybody. And yeah, no, it was just him and the girls on the flight to Little St. John Island. There wasn't anybody else on there. Just ignore the fact that she saw Stephen Hawking and Bill Clinton and like every important person on the planet. But yeah, just like that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Nobody's buying it. Nobody is. And you know who's losing it? Judicial Watch's Tom Fitton, who was suing for the Epstein documents, which the government acknowledged in court did exist. They just weren't giving them up, except now they don't exist at all. Weird. Here's Fitton. It's today's first epic rant. Again, he's the head of Judicial Watch.
I read the memo three or four times again this morning, and it's really, I don't think even the Biden administration would have written anything like this. I just don't think they could have thought they could get away with it. And I got to wonder what is going on at the leadership of the Justice Department and the FBI to allow them to think that statements like as follows. This is a classic. Of course, we're suing for this stuff, right? They say systematic review revealed no incriminating client list. So there's a client list, but it's not incriminating, so therefore you can't see it. There was also no credible evidence that found that Epstein blackmailed prominent individuals as part of his actions. Well, give us the incredible evidence. We did not uncover evidence that could predicate an investigation against uncharged third parties. So they uncovered evidence, but it wasn't enough to predicate an investigation against uncharged third parties. So you can go line by line and kind of, you know, go through this analysis that I'm going through. It may be unfair or overly critical, but in my view, unless you have the records to back up the conclusions you've drawn in a case such as this, this isn't worth much. And it's disturbing it was leaked to Axios. Second time there's been a leak to Axios, by the way. But
coming up, two theories on why Team Trump is covering for the Epstein Johns. Both are fascinating when you consider they come from people close to Trump. Up next. So it's super duper weird. Pam Bondi going on Fox News 4 months ago saying, yeah, you know, I've got the Epstein. Well, I'll let her tell
you. DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients. Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive.
Weird. Here's the other thing, though. She wasn't the only one. Alina Habba, Trump's personal attorney, and now his White House counsel, said a similar thing.
Epstein's case, it is incredibly disturbing. We have flight logs. We have information, names that will come out.
Is it going to be shocking?
I don't see how it's not shocking that there were so many individuals.
So many individuals, she said, that were buying these kids. So Peter Ducey, Fox News reporter, asked Caroline Leavitt at least about the Bondi part. But see, what it is we're all confused.
So what happened to the Epstein client list that the attorney general said she had on her desk?
Well, I think if you go back and look at what the attorney general said in that interview, which was on your network on Fox News. Go ahead.
John Roberts said, DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients. Will that really happen? And she said, it's sitting on my desk right now to review.
Yes, she was saying the entirety of all of the paperwork, all of the paper in relation to Jeffrey Epstein's crimes. That's what the attorney general was referring to, and I'll let her speak for that. But again, when it comes to the FBI.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Roger Stone, who's been a very good friend of Trump's for a long time, going back to days when he was managing Trump's public persona as a playboy. And managing the girlfriend and the wives so they didn't collide with each other. Been friends for that long. He's also been a political advisor for a very long time. It's why the FBI targeted him early on for prosecution. He was doing a round of interviews yesterday, claiming he still, you know, we know he still has Trump's ear, claiming, well, you know, Trump cut a deal with the deep state. That he would not release this if they would back down, essentially stop trying to kill him, stop interfering. That's like making a deal with the devil. You trust the devil? Actually, the devil might be more honest. Anyway, that's what he was saying. That's what they want out there at the grassy grassroots. Or Stone wouldn't be saying it. He wouldn't say that without Trump's permission. He wouldn't. It's weird. And then there's this. This texter nails it, says better than I could. Tara, the Epstein files are just like tariffs. A threat to Congress to release unless a deal is made, with constantly moving goalposts of a deadline, just more dealing. In other words, using them as compromise, blackmail material, Trump now playing the game the way they play it. Maybe. Maybe. Or is it that they were already deleted anyway? Or if they are not, since we've had courts admit they existed, but say that you just can't have them in FOIA cases, maybe they can't get them. Maybe they don't control these agencies enough to get them. Another possibility. What do you think? 800-905-0989. I'll be right back.